This is Nick Oliverian. Nick was an activist who died at the age of 32 from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, according to his obituary. Unfortunately, the FBI wasn't convinced. In fact, they made him out to be some kind of international fugitive. His widow, Louise, has been fighting out those claims on Twitter for the last 2 years. In December of 2021, an American man named Arthur Knight checked himself into the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Glasgow, Scotland, with a bad case of the COVID. He ended up on a ventilator and nearly died. In even worse news for Arthur, he was recognized as being the one and only Nick Oliverian. He is currently being held by law enforcement in Scotland while the extradition process plays out. This is going to be fun. Hey, everybody, and welcome to True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. This is Katie Weaver. I'm here with my co-anchor, sister, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Monday.
It is our Monday case already.
We Hard have to believe. A big week.
Yeah.
We do have a big week. We have all kinds of stuff this week.
We do. We have this case today. We have new cases on Tuesday. Tuesday night, we have the cold read party.
Yes.
And then, of course, Wednesday, we have a regular case. And we have Wednesday night, our live stream of case updates. And then Thursday night, the psychic hour. So we have a bunch going on.
We sure do.
It's pretty great.
I'm excited.
Me too. Well, did you have a great weekend?
Yeah, had a great weekend. Just being kind of lazy. I've started art journaling. So I've been having some fun with that. And that's kind of one of my goals. I don't do resolutions because I don't ever keep them. But one of the things I want to do is do more creative things that are just for myself. And because I do a lot of creative things that are for my podcast or my TikTok or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Do something that's just for me. So that's what the art journaling is for. So
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Wonderful. Well, as you could see from the intro, we have quite a case today.
We do. It sounds like this is all new to me. You guys,
are going to die. I have so much to share, but before that, we have one of our new segments. Christy, I'm going to turn the mic over to you for racial injustice.
All right. Have you ever wondered what might happen if the police came to arrest you because you had the same name as someone they were looking for?
Well, that almost happened to our sister.
Yes, it did. That is true. And you would think maybe that if that were to happen, that the police would ensure that, you know, not only did your name match, but so did your physical description, wouldn't you?
You would hope.
You would hope.
Things along those lines. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Las Vegas police in January of 2020 made a huge mistake when they arrested the wrong Shane Lee Brown.
Ouch.
He didn't have his driver's license on him. But he did have his social security card, so they had his name. Mm-hmm. Well, they discover that they have a bench warrant for a Shane Brown, who was facing some weapons charges. And so, unfortunately, the Shane Lee Brown they were looking for was 49, and he was a white guy with blue eyes and a big bushy beard.
Oh.
However, they arrested 23-year-old Black Shane Lee Brown.
Hmm.
Now, I mean, there's got to have been some kind of description, right? Like, there's right. some way to know. The Shane Brown that got arrested pled with officers that he was not the Shane Brown in the bench warrant, that they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They completely ignored him. They took him to jail. He spent several days in jail in Las Vegas. They recorded him as an inmate with his correct date of birth, race, and height. But they assigned him... They also gave him a different identification number than the older Shane Brown. So it should have been obvious that this was not the same guy.
Yeah.
Finally, when he had gone before a judge,
mm-hmm.
the judge compared side-by-side photos of them to discover that, in fact, this guy had nothing to do with the Shane Lee Brown they were looking for. Unfortunately, he would have spent 6 days in jail before this mistake was remedied.
How?
Because they're racist assholes. It was kind of like, well, he's a Black guy, so he probably did it. Really. I mean, this is just the attitude. Because he told them, look, you need to look this up. I am not the right guy. Mm-hmm. They would not listen to him. They had a description of the guy they were looking for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The dude looked like Santa Claus. He was 49. He was white. He had a bushy white beard and blue eyes. And yeah. yet they arrested a Black man.
And kept him for 6 days?
And kept him for 6 days.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Rightfully so, Shane Lee Brown, 23, is suing. And I hope he gets every penny he deserves.
Me too. Wow.
And with that, I send it back to you for our main case.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Nick. This is Nick Alaverdian.
Okay.
Nick is from Rhode Island, where he maybe supposedly was a foster kid. And I only say that because he's a big damn liar. So what we know about his past and what's true is kind of iffy. So
gotcha.
There's a lot out there, but it's a little bit iffy. According to Nick, he was a foster kid who was terribly mistreated in the system. Now, we can believe that. There's been a whole lot of that going down.
True.
He claims that he was sent off to some kind of like a boys' school in Florida, where he was tortured and molested and treated very poorly.
Mm.
But we also know that at age 14, he began working as a page at the State House in Rhode Island. So
at 14?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
His claim. So
that seems odd.
The timing is weird. Everything about this guy is weird. But he spent 20 years, not even that. He says 20 years, but he wasn't that old. But he spent a great deal of his adult life working with legislators and fighting against Child and Family Services, trying to get better treatment for kids in the system. That was his big claim to fame, that that's what he was doing.
Okay.
He worked off and on in the State House, even as an adult. That's what he says, but he's actually lived all over the place. So it's all a little bit murky.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2008, he was in Ohio. And, well, I want to back up. Actually, as a teenager, when he was still working... for senators, there was a senator that he had a lot to do with. He was quite connected to with him and his family, and he had convinced them to allow him to adopt him. And
like as an adult?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, no, not as an adult. It's a teenager.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, adults can be adopted, so.
Yeah. No, this he was a teenager at the time. This was in 2000. And so this is a person by the last name of Coogan.
Okay.
And Brian Coogan is his name. He was a state representative. He and his wife were really trying to help this boy that had had such a hard time by his own, you know, what the story that he told, right?
Right.
That he'd had such a hard time. So they really wanted to help him. They moved him into their house. They were trying to give him a permanent family. He begged them to adopt him. And they were set to adopt him. And Coogan said in an article with the Daily Mail, he said on the day he was in court to begin adoption proceedings, he overheard Nick threatening a social worker, saying, "I'll tell them you abused me and that you hit me."
Uh-huh.
And that really worried him because he'd talked a lot about all the abuse that he had suffered.
Right.
But that didn't sound like that, you know, that worried him. So they did not follow through with the adoption. And he said, actually, a judge talked Coogan and his wife out of the adoption, saying that this boy was manipulative and prone to stealing people's identities.
Mm.
So they did allow him to stay. It seems like he must have lived with them for a while. One thing that they learned is that a kid in their family, Nick was crazy smart, and a really good writer. And one of the kids in their family needed help writing a story for, or a paper for school. Nick told him he'd help him do it for $200. So he paid him $200. He helped him write this paper, or he wrote it, I don't know. This kid goes and turns it in, and after it's turned in, Nick says, "All right, well, I have a copy of it, so how much are you going to pay me to not go show it to your teacher and tell you that you plagiarized?"
Blackmail, little weasel. What?
This was the kind of shit he was up to, apparently, from, you know, a young age, according to the Daily Mail and Mr. Coogan.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, at some point he ends up in Ohio. And in 2008 in Ohio, he is a college student in a community college there. And he gets charged with some sex crimes. They call it an incident with a student in a stairwell.
It sounds about the way a college would deem a
right.
Sexual assault.
That's sexual assault. He had some other incidences with the law for exposing himself and masturbating in public. They didn't call it a sexual assault per se. Like a physical sexual assault, but he did have sex charges and he did have to register as a sex offender.
Okay.
So he leaves Ohio and at some point goes to Orem, Utah for a little while. Why? Because when he was in Ohio, he did a little bit of jail time and guess what?
Mm.
He found the Jesus.
Oh.
And got baptized into the Mormon church.
Oh, are you serious? Why does it always come back to Mormons? I just don't know.
So he spent a little time in 2008-ish in Utah, in the Orem Provo area.
Mm-hmm.
Then he, or the Salt Lake City area, essentially, in that the Salt Lake City Valley. Then he ends up back on the East Coast. Well, sometime around 2012, he is attending Harvard as an extension student. And he gets arrested.
That means.
It means he's not going to Harvard as a full-fledged student. He's going kind of like as a correspondence student, maybe, or in their extended campus.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. So he gets arrested. Why does he get arrested? Because he has not registered as a sex offender.
Oh, ooh.
This happened in Boston. And this was in, this was in 2012. Yep.
Okay.
They end up kicking him out. of the school. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to do other things. Things that we don't really, there's not a great timeline of what he does along, you know, after that for a little while.
Okay.
But what we know then, well, he continues to write a lot of manifestos kind of books and big wild, you know, things or accusing of all of this abuse and going after the Department of Family and Child Services and really ingratiating himself with a lot of politicians in Rhode Island, trying to, you know, write bills and, you know, essentially to help kids, we hope, right? I mean, that's who he sells himself to be, but it's just a tough deal. There's even pictures of him floating around of him on the internet with Mike Pence.
Well, of course there is. But he's a sex offender. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a no. This is a definite no.
Under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Under the radar. So in 2015, there is a man that is being excommunicated from the LDS Church. And at the time, it appears that he actually works for the Mormon Church.
Okay.
In some kind of communications or something along those lines. He has a blog, which sadly is no longer available. So wish it wasn't gone, but it is. But anyway, there's a man that's being excommunicated from the Mormon Church who has been sharing big opinions. And a lot of LDS people are pretty upset about it. Some people are really kind of following this guy. Well, Nick has big opinions about it. And has written some big hit pieces on this person. And those pieces have resulted in him getting a ton of attention. Some Brigham Young University professors have shared links to his articles. And he's suddenly getting all of this attention online.
Oh, Mr. Unregistered Sex Offender getting all this attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of came down on him. And here's... Yeah. Here's what he says about, this is a little excerpt of what he says about the person who's being excommunicated. Any idea who this person is, by the way?
I mean, what year was it?
2015.
2015? I don't know if it was John DeLynn.
It was John DeLynn.
Okay.
Yeah. John DeLynn. Yep. Which I just found ironic because you and I both really like John DeLynn and his work. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is what he says about John DeLynn. Some of you guys will die laughing about this. Some of you won't get it. But if you've been following the Lori Vallow case at all, this will ring true to you. John DeLynn is hardly a leader. Speaking out against the church, its teachings, the doctrine, or its leaders is speaking out against Christ. Christ already came. The law was fulfilled in him. According to Mormon doctrine, DeLynn is acting like the Book of Mormon instigator, Korihor.
No shit, he used Korihor. Oh, you guys,
denying you
been
the
following
Christ.
The Lori Daybell Vallow case, you should, because then you get that reference. Oh, that's funny.
I have laughed myself silly about this afternoon. Following the formula of Christ's approach does not immunize one from the church discipline when that behavior is unchristian. Oh, those are kind of the vein of the things that he was writing on his blog about DeLynn.
Sure.
Well, I found a lawsuit today while I was researching our pal Nick here from 2015, because apparently when his articles got, you know, they were getting lots of hits to his website, he started getting quite a bit of mail, emails and stuff. Some mm-hmm. hate mail, some not hate mail, but lots of attention, right?
Right.
Well, somebody on Twitter messaged him and said, hey, I got this email from you. If this was you, you need to knock it off. If it wasn't you, you should know that someone's sending this stuff out. Well, it wasn't him. It was someone else. It was a guy by the last name of Nemelka, Christopher Nemelka. From where? Orem, Utah.
Oh, okay.
He was sending emails. He was gathering emails. It looks like I'm not entirely sure, but it looks like by you know, checking out everyone who was commenting and sharing all of his articles, commenting on Twitter. So he starts gathering this email list up of people and hammering them several times a day with emails, supposedly from Nick. And they are a little disastrous for Nick. I can't read it all to you or we'll get kicked off of YouTube, but it starts with, "My beloved brothers and sisters."
Oh boy.
"I'm Nicholas Oliverdian and public relations specialist of the Mormon Church. I'm a registered sex offender. I'm a Mormon," with lots of links to all of his stuff. "I bear testimony that I know with every fiber of my exposed woody that the Book of Mormon is blue, and I testify to you that I'm not the only true and living sex offender in the church." And it goes on and on and on.
Oh my gosh.
I'll link it so that you guys can read it if you want to. Again, don't want to get kicked off YouTube over it. I died.
Wow.
I died. Yeah. There's also a very ugly gay slur in it.
Well, of course.
Then he followed it up with another email.
Who is this genius?
Oh, you'll
like,
find
give
out.
Him a high five, except for the gay slur.
You're going to die. Okay. He says, there's the second email. "Call me if you have a problem with my honest email. My number is," and publishes his true cell phone number.
Oh.
"Also, follow me on Twitter. May the mighty Joseph destroy every single unbeliever with my iron rod. Please do not forget, I'm a sex offender. So call me, sexy ladies."
Oh my God.
Yep.
Wow.
With another link to the article about him with the charges that he had at Sinclair Community College. Like, really outing him.
Oh, wow.
Well, Nick does not like this.
Really?
So he contacts his attorney and law enforcement and the church. And they figure out who this person is. His name is Christopher Nemelka. Again, he lives in Orem, Utah. Christopher Nemelka believes that he translated the sealed portion of the Book of Mormon. He also believes that he is the reincarnation of Hiram Smith.
What?
And the Orem, Utah Police Department informed the plaintiff that the defendant is known to law enforcement, is psychologically unstable, and has done this to other people before.
I mean, it's horrible, but it's not untrue.
Right. Yeah.
Also hilarious.
It's killed
me. But then he's like a pre-Chad Daybell? Great.
He's like a pre-Chad Daybell. Yeah. Yes. But also, what? Anyway, also the scammer gets scammed with this guy. Anyway.
Right. That is all pretty great.
So that's the timeline up to this point. That's 2015. These are some of the things we know about Nick. So Nick is married and divorced twice in that time period.
I wonder why.
He gets divorced. He gets married in 2015 and gets divorced in 2017. And that was his second marriage. So in 2018, the FBI come calling because one of Nicholas's former foster mothers has gone to the FBI and said that he has stolen the identity of her husband, has taken out 22 credit cards in his name, and has run up a $200,000 debt.
Oh my God.
Also, his most recent ex-wife says that he has scammed her and owes her about $60,000.
Wow.
Well, right after the FBI come.
Where's Christopher Nemelka when you need him?
That's a good question. Well, right after that happens, he announces all over social media Because you got to remember, in Rhode Island, he's like this little hero that has been, you know, fighting for the children and all of this stuff. And he does have a following of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he announces to his following that he has been diagnosed with cancer, mm-hmm. and that he's dying. Out of the blue.
Suddenly. Sure, it's true. I'm 100% sure this is true when he's mm-hmm. now getting in trouble with the FBI and, you know, mm-hmm. identity theft and shit. Yeah, this is a very convenient time to get cancer. Okay, got it.
It most certainly is, isn't it? Well, lo and behold, he dies. At least that's what his obituary said. This very flowery obituary is released and says that he has died on February 29th, 2020. And
died on leap year? Leap day?
Apparently. Yeah. And I wonder
why he chose that day.
I don't know.
To die.
The obituary is really something. Really something.
Mm-hmm.
It is really long. It claims that he died with his family and his wife and two children, that he died in his wife's arms while listening to the soundtrack of his favorite movie.
What was the movie?
Contact.
Okay.
Like composer Alan Silvestri.
A
film and score which held special meaning to Mr. Aliverdian. It's all really cool. It also says that he was a devout Roman Catholic, which is interesting because he hasn't been. Well, I read something online about him having a bad flame out with the church and writing them a really scathing letter, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know.
I mean, what could possibly have made that happen? I can't imagine.
It's really hard to know. Well, there's some problems with old Nick's death.
Well, I would
first of which, the obituary says that he was cremated and his ashes were scattered at sea. Because of course they were.
Well, that is a very convenient way to make sure no one can ever find your body.
Scattered at sea, everyone. Correct. Well, there is a person who is reaching out, claiming to be his late wife, Louise.
His late wife, she's dead too?
Well, no, sorry. His widow, Louise.
His widow. Gotcha.
Problem is, there's no record of Louise. No one has any idea who Louise is. Pretty sure Louise's name is Nick. But anyway, Louise puts this obituary up on the internet, starts announcing on all of his social media that he has died, converts all of his social media to memorial pages, and sends his obituary to all the magazine or the newspapers, to particularly to the Providence newspaper.
Sure.
Well, the Providence newspaper has a policy. And that policy is, if we don't receive your obituary from a funeral home, we have to see the death certificate in order for us to publish the obituary.
Sure.
Well, Louise cannot provide this. And there's no way of proving anything. Her husband's ashes have already been scattered at sea. Sorry, Louise, not doing it.
Wow.
Also, Louise tries to have a small service arranged for him at a local Catholic church, who also smell a rat and cancel the service and say they just can't do it because something's wrong.
Right. Right? This is not the order in which these things occur.
No. And the FBI is like, However, the politicians in Rhode Island fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
Of course.
He is mentioned in the State House. There's a moment of silence. His widow is mailed all of these accolades and certificates, and they fell for it hardcore.
Wow.
But the FBI doesn't, and they're still looking for him. So on his Twitter memorial page, there's a bunch of posts about basically claiming that law enforcement is doing everything they can to defame Nick in his death and claiming that he's alive. Fine, you can just think whatever you want to. The way you're treating or acting about him just furthers, you know, his belief that they were just always trying to set him up and prove that he was a liar because they didn't want all of their secrets to be exposed. You know, that vein of lots of fake news stuff. This was fake. It's just all fake news because Nick the Great was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So something else has been happening over in Orem, Utah. There was a rape in Utah in 2008 in Orem. And Utah, like lots of other states, had this huge backlog of rape kits. Well, they finally got a grant from the federal government and processed them all. So they had this semen that matched up to Nick.
Oh, bastard.
But when Nick was in Utah, he was going by a different name. We now know that Nick's had about 8 different aliases. The FBI is now saying that DNA is matching up to a bunch of sexual assaults across the country.
Oh.
So.
This asshole.
So not only is he wanted, particularly in Utah, but he was also already, you know, being investigated by the FBI because of all of the fraud. But now it looks like it's possible that there'll be more sexual assault charges. So the FBI has been looking for him, and they actually had him listed in Interpol because some of the senators said that Louise had told them that they were living in various countries, in Ireland, in Quebec, she had said that they had to live overseas because law enforcement was constantly targeting him and were just, you know, trying to always cover up all their secrets.
Yeah. Ugh.
All right. So anyway, something happened to poor old Nick. He got the vid in Scotland. This is so much poetic justice. It just kills me. So in December, a man named Arthur Knight checked into the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Glasgow, Scotland, or Glasgow. Somebody will flame me for saying it wrong, I know, but Glasgow. That's my best guess. That's my best pronunciation. He was very, very sick. He nearly died. He ended up intubated.
Wow.
Well, we're not entirely sure how the hospital put 2 and 2 together. We don't really know. There's parts of the story we just don't know yet. We'll get them.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up calling Interpol and saying, we have a fugitive here. So that man who was claiming to be Arthur Knight was, in fact, our little Nick.
Oh, my God.
So now we do know for certain that he has faked his own death, which, by the way, will come with more fraud charges.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. But he has lived. He's, you know, he did live through the vid now. Good job, Scotland. They saved him. And so they have verified that he has now been on video in some kind of court proceeding. They are holding him there and getting ready to extradite him back to Utah. Utah gets first crack at him.
Okay.
And then the federal government will be going, you know, with their
feds
charges.
Please be prepared because Utah handles sexual assault cases about as well as Idaho. So he's not going to get much for this.
Yeah.
So feds, do your best.
Be ready. Yeah. But also this guy has managed to, you know, slide under the radar now for quite some time and get away with this stuff. So yeah.
Wow. He's I don't even hardly even know what to say.
It's quite it's almost a catch me if you can kind of tale.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, it is.
Lots of stuff like, the Wikipedia thing. So Wikipedia, he's been doing battle with Wikipedia for quite a while. because he put up his own wiki. And
of course he did.
Has altered it over and over again. And then this last year put up a picture on his wiki that's of someone that's not him.
Oh, and sure. To try
made
to
lots and
up.
Lots of requests to delete all of the other pictures on Wikipedia of him until somebody finally went, that's not him. That guy's a senator, actually, I think, or a politician of some sort. Anyway, they finally figured it out and put his right picture up and things. There's a new wiki of him that I don't think he'll
That's really
be
interesting,
to.
Though, that he could be fighting while from the grave. About right. his picture being, mm-hmm. you know, which picture
well, it's
should
not
be up
him.
On Wikipedia.
It's a bunch of sock puppet accounts, you know.
Right, I know,
up.
But yeah, like.
And Wikipedia is like,
pretty
what the hell?
Little shithead, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, Wikipedia is like, we don't get, like, all these requests to alter these accounts constantly. Like, what is this? But yeah. It's not just, it partly was to make him look amazing. Amazing. If you, on the outside looking into this guy, you'd be like, wow, Harvard educated.
No.
Wrote for Providence newspaper. Deeply embedded in Rhode Island politics. Activist who has been fighting for the children for the last 20 years. That's how he billed himself. The problem with that is
that, also being a sex offender. That's, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I'm expecting a lot more than we even know of yet. We'll find out. You know, that none of that is, there's so much more to come in this case. This is just.
Well, I'd be so curious to find out, what is his actual history?
Right.
Like, what's his real history?
There's a lot of lies here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are some interesting things here. The Providence News said he wrote in an opinion piece once that we published in our editorials.
Yeah.
Never worked for them.
No.
International author was another claim that he made. He has self-published a book. Harvard educated. This one's really interesting. He did attend Harvard briefly. He didn't graduate right. from Harvard. No. He also claims to be a political scientist and sociologist, but there's no proof that he's ever graduated from any college.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he has, but there's no one's finding that on the internet. Because now, you know, investigative journalists
seems unlikely at this point.
Going crazy with this stuff, trying to figure out, like, who really is this person? Yeah.
Right.
So that's what we know. So I don't know if Louise is going to start hitting us up about this expose here. I don't know. However, I'm going to tell you, Louise, and anybody else, that I will put all of the links for all of the information that I found in the show description so that you can check them out for yourselves. I'll right. also put a link to the article the legal documents between Aliverdian and Nemelka, if you'd like to check out a little bit more about that very interesting case. And you can come to your own conclusions, but this is what we know so far, what we think we know so far. So we'll definitely keep an eye on this case because, well, I think it's very interesting. And we want to know. But
well,
also,
yeah.
If he's responsible for a bunch more sex crimes, then by God.
Lock his ass up.
Mm-hmm. We want to know that. And we want to know that he.
Well, and the identity theft, man. That just screws up people's lives terribly.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yep. So this is what we know so far.
Wow.
So, Christy. I'm going to turn the mic over to you for a missing person spotlight.
Okay, well, let's do that. Are you familiar at all with the missing Skelton children?
Ooh, that does sound familiar, but yeah, carry on.
They went missing in 2010. They were with their father, John Skelton. And he was supposed to return them to their mother, I think the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Well, he didn't turn up with them.
Oh.
And so mom reported them missing. And dad was found in Ohio. Dad was found that he had been to Ohio and back to Michigan, and the boys were not with him. He said he gave them to some kind of underground protection service that had something to do with the Amish.
Oh, boy. Now,
that sounds legit. Mm-hmm. Sound like anyone else we know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have not...
Yeah, I can just hear it now.
They have not been seen yet. They have not been seen since. They've been missing for 12 years.
Oh, my God. Their poor mother.
I know, right? They were 9, 7, and 5. Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner when they went missing. It was on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
So police really wanted to get a hold of this moron for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Skelton. So they did convict him of unlawful imprisonment of the children because he didn't return them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. And he still sits in prison and refuses to speak about his kids.
Wow.
We don't know where they are. We don't know what he's done. And in 2021, he skipped his parole hearing. We're not sure why, but he did not attend it. So there he was not granted parole. He will be released in 2025 if he is not granted parole. So he will be released in 3 years.
Wow.
Or sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I really question with the parole board if they've said, well, we'd be happy to give you parole if you'll tell us where your kids are.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, this is something to keep an eye on because he will come up for parole again in September of 2022. And if he is not released, he will sit till 2025. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, they have never found his children.
Where are those kids? Oh,
where
my
are
God.
Those kids?
What a nightmare.
Yeah. And there's just nothing. They just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
They have no evidence. They have nothing to point to where he could be. And some kind of underground group that has something to do with the Amish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's like, I mean, dude, you could have done way better about making some shit up.
Right. Yeah.
Has something
Sorry,
to do
but
with the Amish. What? Anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's the same kind of stuff, you know, that was being thrown around with Lori Vallow, that her kids were in a bunker somewhere. Yeah.
It reminded me of the stories that Lori Vallow was saying when her kids were missing when they were actually all dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar stuff. Yeah. But I hadn't heard about this and where Dad was supposed to have a potential parole hearing in 2021. We're just going to kind of keep an eye on it, but we'll tell you more as we find it. But, you know, just know. Those skeleton boys have never been found.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. So, that's Monday, guys. So, whatever time or day you are watching this case, thank you for being here. Please like, share, follow. Love having you. If you want to have more content from us, come and join our Patreon. That's a way to get 2 extra cases a month. From us, or 2 extra episodes a month from us. And of course, we'll be here for the rest of the week. So thank you all. This has been yet another production of True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.